Good morning. This is the first Sunday of Lent. We welcome you. We gather together, we join, and it is good to be here. The flowers today are in remembrance of Virginia Kniff. Her service was yesterday. I have good news and bad news. Yesterday we had no heat because the heating system had failed and had broken down. It was a cool church. Today, obviously, it's fixed, and I want to acknowledge, Richard, stand up. Richard, thank you for all your hard work. Well, we've got a lot done, and we also, I have good news and bad news. The bad news is that we have to have an emergency light installed in the elevator, and the elevator company quoted us $1,500 to install that. Richard finished that yesterday for... For about 40 bucks. So, yay. If you're riding in the elevator and you're tall enough, reach up and push the little red button on the bottom. The lights will light up. It's a test feature for that. And just say thank you for Rich for your good work, as always. He's stalwart and a good help. Tom, stand up. Tom Larson came here on this last week. How long were you here? It was all morning, basically, wasn't it? Was it just 2 hours? Oh, 2 days, thank you. I was gonna say, 2 hours didn't seem even close. We had, he cleaned up the entire facility, trash. It had gotten pretty severe, and he was fighting snow and ice and water, and did a wonderful job, and we are very, very grateful. Thank you, my friend, your volunteers. I want to thank Paya, who continues to save us and continues to keep me on track. The service for this morning, I thought it was all done, and she said, you sort of need to select some hymns. So she's keeping me on track with the funeral and everything else going on. I got lost. Barbara adapting to and making all of that work so well. Diana is always in the middle of coordinating and bringing things together. And the women that helped feed and take care of and do that selflessly. I want to thank all of you. Such a wonderful, wonderful gathering. And the church, Melba, is always in the middle of something and in a very good way. So we're very grateful to all of you. It is a beautiful morning. It's a good morning. It is Lent, the first Sunday of Lent. And I don't have any other particular announcements. Paya, did I miss anything that you would like to add that we need to make people aware of? I don't think there are. Any of you, any announcements that we need to add for the good of the order? If not, Debbie Gunther, our chair of mission committee. If she's the chair of missions, does that make her the missionary?
Hello?
Wait a minute, let's see what's going on here. Didn't have its button.
Hold on.
And the next Cromp fundraiser is at Sabor on March 22nd. Thank you.
And she thanked everyone for Just Grill. And did you tell us how much that we?
We'll get a check today for $250. That's over and above what we made, but we still did very well. Thank you.
Very good. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for eating. Such an easy way to be a part of the mission work of our church, and we do a lot of that. Michael, we have Mr. Contour, Larry, if you would, announcement for the good of the order.
I just wanted to comment that Just Grill has fantastic food. So if you haven't been there, you better go. You missed it this week, so.
I really need to find some place to get food.
Well, it's Lent. You can't eat.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Others? Other announcements for the good of the order? All right. Glad to have everyone here. Stand up, wave hello to one another. Let's turn to our call to worship.
Please remain standing for the call to worship. Lord, come among your people this morning. Come, Lord, come. We come humbly before you. We acknowledge your sins to you.
And you have forgiven us.
Happy are we when our transgression is forgiven, when our sin is covered.
Happy are we near the right relationship with you, Lord.
Opening hymn can be found in your hymnal, page 364, selection 364, Because He Lives. You may be seated. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Romans, Old Testament, chapter 5, verses 12 through 19. You can find it in your pew Bible, page 145 to 146. The word of the Lord. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law. But sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like this trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord. Be to God.
Thank you, James. Well done. He had some oral surgery, so we weren't sure if he was going to be able to do it, but doing well. Sounds good. Thank you. Pray for him going to the dentist. All right. By way of prayers of concern, on the back of the bulletin, you see those listed. We continue to lift them as we share in the prayers of our family and of the world. Keep aware of the struggles of war and earthquakes and recovery. And I have to say, I was just a little bit tickled that southern LA was getting snow. Some of them have never driven in snow, so that might have been awfully traumatic, and I have to just be tickled just a little bit. Are there other concerns that you would lift this morning, other prayers that we need to add to our prayer list? I don't see any. Amen to that. Amen. By way of celebrations, Ruth Mathias has a birthday on the 28th, I believe that's Tuesday. Ruth is going to be 94 years young. So they are usually joining us by virtually on the camera, and I often neglect to welcome and celebrate people joining us virtually. We have a fairly large virtual audience, virtual congregation, so say hello to everybody through the Spirit, if you will. I also have down that Joyce Jerome has a birthday on February 29th. She's a leap year baby, isn't she? So I do not know how many years, but that might be complicated given the leap year nature of her birth. But anyway, we celebrate her. Others, other birthdays or special events, special things that we need to lift. There was something, and it is niggling at the back of my mind, but I have a very small brain and it's a very small niggle. Pardon me? Sandy's Tinney's birthday is today? No, I don't have it on here. Sandy Tinney, is it your birthday today? Yay! I totally don't have that on the list. I thought I named it last week, didn't I? Like I said, I have a very small brain, and it slipped by. All right. And you turned 21. No, you told us last week, 84 today. Oh, my goodness. I hope that Gene is making you a huge cake. No. Happy birthday to you. Others, any other celebrations? We have a No, not a celebration? Okay, all right. Hand went up, but then it went back down. We'll be all right with that. If there are any others, I do want to say prayers for Virginia Kniff. She is among the saints, and we are grateful. Her family grieving her physical loss and us missing that lady that was always dressed to the nines coming in here and sitting among us. We celebrate her, and we celebrate that she is at peace with the Lord. Amen. Let's turn. Our prayer is one of unison prayer, but also one of confession this morning because of Lent. We live in a very self-centered culture. We are seduced away from faithfulness. Lent is the appropriate time to examine our failings, our transgressions, our sins, and turn to repentance. Let us then take this time to confess together. Holy and merciful God, we confess to you we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have sinned by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Lord God, hear our silent prayers of repentance to you. The promise of Scripture is true. When we confess, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silence in preparation for the pastoral prayer. Loving Lord God, bringer of light and life and joy and celebration, bringer of forgiveness and for grace, Lord, thank you. Thank you for joining with us in this worship this morning. Thank you for the ways that you bless us continuously. As we come and turn to this first Sunday of Lent, we begin a journey of 40 days moving toward Easter. And in that journey, we are given the opportunity to focus ourselves finally on those things that might be meaningful to us and to you. Guide us that we might be about growing closer in our journey, in our discipleship. Guide us that we might look closely at those places in our lives that we need to change, especially those where we are unaware that we have failed to meet all of your expectations of us and are unaware of our failing. Lord, hear our confession. You have heard what we've offered up, and you have, through the grace of Jesus Christ, given us forgiveness. We are grateful. It is a gift without price. We are humble before such a gift. Lord God, hear us as we come and gather together. Hear us as we join together in worship in a church family, in a family of Christians who follow the good teacher and who gather together with their voices in the Lord's Prayer saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our offering is not passed through the pews. The offering plates are in the back of the narthex. We are thankful for your help in carrying on the ministries of the church. We have not yet gotten a bill for the work on the heating system. I will let you know, and I will need your help. Barbara is going to lift up an offertory.
Our second and final scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to a holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple. "Command these angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, and so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord of your God to the test." Again the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
All right, we're calling Stephanie forward with all of the young people of all ages and sizes. Come down front. We have a video. Stephanie selected this one, so she has it memorized. But we have a video for the morning. Young people, come down. Come down. I see a few behind you, Rich. Turn around and stare at them. Make them feel guilty. All right, we got some good help person from the Burns clan here, too. So, all right.
Thanks for watching Life Tree Kids.
Thank you, God, for saving me.
Thank you, God, for saving me.
Rescue from the middle of the ocean deep.
Rescue from the middle of the ocean deep.
You set my feet on solid ground.
You set my feet on solid ground.
I once
can sit down now. Thank you for our aerobics for this morning. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, all of you kiddos, big and small. All you big kids and all you little kids, get off of the playground. All right. Sorry, that's a joke that you might not have heard. Take a breath here. My goodness, I'm all out of shape. If that much exercise makes me out of shape, I am really out of shape, but that's neither. It is the beginning of Lent. How many of you did not know that? No, I don't want to ask. That's not the right way to do that. How many of you remembered that it was the beginning of Lent? There we go. There we go. We're not terribly sure why there's this tradition of giving something up for Lent. You know, growing up, I didn't do that. I wasn't in a gathering of a family that did that. But is your tradition, do you have that tradition of always giving something up for Lent? How many, just kind of a show of hands, so you're giving something up for Lent, all right. I think it comes from some of the Catholic tradition of a dietary restriction. What are they?
Because Frank always did, and he was Roman Catholic.
Okay, Frank was Roman Catholic, so he had to give up meat?
Well, he gave up something, but he only gave up meat on Fridays.
Oh, okay, gave up meat on Fridays. That explains it. I remember when I was in a previous church, and if we went to Greeley on Fridays and we went to the fish place, it was packed. So they gave up meat, but apparently fish was kosher or okay. Whatever, I got you now, all right. You know, I'll figure this thing out. The Protestant Reformation, I don't know that that's something that we hold firmly to, but it is a reflection of Jesus's 40 days in the wilderness. Now, if you sit down with your calendar and try and count the 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter, you'll be off a little because it messes around and doesn't count Sundays or something. I don't remember that exactly, but the 40 days will lead us now to Easter. So we're on that journey. And that's worth remembering and contemplating and praying about and being in the middle of. I don't know that it's a bad thing for us to contemplate if there's something we need to give up. I know that it's always a good thing to contemplate if there's something that we need to do to better ourselves. I'm speaking only for myself here, but I'm not 100% of the way on the way to perfection. I am moving on to perfection. Are you moving on to perfection? Yeah. We'll do that one more time. Are you moving on to perfection? Yes. Amen. There are days when we feel like we're moving a little forward, two steps forward, one step back, don't we? But we continue on with God as our help. So this is intriguing to me. God, we read, James read the Matthian passage of Jesus' temptation. He had to explore those possible weaknesses, those possible flaws, those places where he might fail. This is Jesus. Is it possible that he would have temptations? That he would have weaknesses? Think about that a moment. I mean, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what weaknesses could Jesus possibly have? He's the Christ, after all. And yet Christ, fully human, would not be fully human if he did not, like each of us, have potential weaknesses. And this naming of those and pausing is important. To have a weakness, to make possessions and food and feeding yourself. In our culture today, it's not as much pressure as it was in Jesus' age. If you were a person living in Jesus' time, a good portion of every day that you were alive, you had to figure out how to eat. It was not a given. And so to know that that was a struggle, and it might be a temptation to put that pressure ahead of anything else. And so he's tempted to turn this rock into bread. Man does not live by bread alone. Humanity does not live by bread alone. And he takes him to the top of the temple, and he said, I can throw yourself off and call God to save you. And Jesus says, it is, don't tempt the Lord your God. Living and being free of afflictions is a temptation we all want. We all pray, keep our families safe, keep us all healthy, and we all want that, but you know, somehow I still end up going to the doctor now and again and again. Not only that, I don't know, this is a little off track, but it might be good or bad news. My doctor's office called and they're closing down. I don't know if it was me, I kind of feel a little guilty, I just was in there. But as of the beginning of March, the whole practice is gonna go away. That's a little unnerving. I'll find someone else, God willing, but we need to pause every once in a while and give thanks for those who do the healthcare. Amen? So Jesus facing his weaknesses. And if Jesus has weaknesses, what about us? Dad and I, years ago, were talking. I don't know what started the conversation, but as an adult, I had been preaching on various things over time, and I commented on temptations, and I said, Dad, what do you think your temptations are? And he barely paused, and he said, money. Dad, providing for family, I realized looking back that it was a struggle for most of his time. He grew up in the Depression, so his family did what they could, and they always had to work hard to find things. He decided he was called to teaching, and he went into teaching, and you don't make money teaching. Family of four of us, so when summer break came, he hired on as day laborer all summer long to make some extra money to put food on our table. So it was a real pressure on him. And so money was one of his temptations. And I have to think about it. I am grateful that money is not one of my temptations. Now, don't worry, I've still got others, and no, I'm not going to share them with you. Each of us has some things that might be tempting. The CIA had a list of ways that you could take a person and turn them into a double agent by tempting them with various things. Money or food or sex or nationality. Nationalism. You could tempt somebody to do something by convincing them that it was for their country or for their religion or for their cause. That startled me, but it was something to be aware of. So there are these areas that most of us share that might be temptations for us. What are yours? And face them. Gird your loins against them. If you can name those things that might become problems in your lives, you're ready to watch out for them. So here is the temptation. We don't have a confessional in the church. I've never been in a confessional. I'm assuming that Frank did. I mean, he went to confession. And if those of you who have been Catholic have been in them, they have a purpose that's useful because confession and redemption is important. But the Reformation, when Martin Luther broke from the Roman Catholic Church, his point was that priests can't forgive us. And giving the penalty as saying five Hail Marys or whatever penalty they seem to... All I know about the confessional is from TV, so I am patently ignorant here. But priests do not offer and bring us forgiveness. That comes from God. Think about that a moment. There are transgressions that move us away from the Lord. And when we do those, that's that division and that separation and that guilt and all that begins to play in and we begin to move away from our holiness connection. And through Christ, we have forgiveness. And that brings us back closer again. But that forgiveness comes through Christ. You heard that this morning, didn't you? We read together in our bulletin, and at toward the end of it, I read, in the name of Christ, you are forgiven. I can't forgive you, but in Christ's name, you are forgiven. And then you read back to me, you can't forgive me, but in the name of Christ, you said that I was forgiven. Amen. Thank you. Grace upon grace, wonder upon wonder, and we celebrate that forgiveness because it brings us back into right relationship. One of the things that I have discovered in my career in the ministry is that we do guilt really well. And that a lot of the people in the pews remember everything they've done wrong very vividly, including me. And we hold on to those, we latch on to those, and we don't latch on to the forgiveness that God gives us that allows us to let go of those. That's kind of a transgression of its own. To not accept God's grace of forgiveness, we are not following where God is leading us. Now, that doesn't mean it makes it easier, but it does remind us, if God has forgiven me, I need to let go of this. Think about that during these 40 days. Think about some of those things from your past that you wish you could go back and change, and you wish you could be forgiven for, and know that by knowing and by confessing, you have been forgiven. Amen? We have a slide, and this is what stirred this whole sermon. It's a little hard to see here, but on the left is an angel, and she's talking to a man, and he has a shovel. He's toiling. He's working. And the angel has come, and as he is toiling in his work, the angel is bringing him forgiveness. And the title written in the back in Latin is Forgiveness and Toil Equals Virtue. Between God and our efforts, we come to righteousness. Things get better. It is the right place to be. Think about that a moment. Now, built into that is the sense that you just can't sit on your tuchuses. We can't just be good Christians and not do nothing. I know that's bad English, but it's really graphic. There are no passengers on the ship of Christ. It's a working boat. We're all members of the crew. All of us have something to offer. I contemplate that. Let's talk about our Virginia that we just lost. 99 years young. Not a lot she can do. She couldn't come help us clean weeds or hoe this or dig that or build this or paint that. Her body was beyond the ability to do those things. And when it comes to painting, that's something that you should not have me do because I'm really bad at it. So we can't all do everything, but each of us can contribute in some way. And Virginia did. She traveled, they lifted the places that she had traveled to around the world, and she traveled as a Christian woman with joy and celebration. And she came back, and she was a person of joy and of acceptance of a variety of things that was awesome. She was an inclusive, accepting, loving person. That was what she was doing. How are we about and what are we about doing? That's what Romans says. The grace of God and the free gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. Grace and toil and virtue and righteousness. So that holy messenger had come and has brought us grace, the grace of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Accept that. In this Lent, make one of your journeys be, accept that God has forgiven me those things that I regret that I have done, and let me let go of them because they are weighing me down and being able to be the Christian that God calls me to be. May it be so. Amen. Amen. We have a hymn. I need to find my bulletin. I found it. Take Time to Be Holy. 395. Stand, if you will. If the screen behaves, it'll be on the screen. Otherwise, half of it will be on the screen, and the rest will be in your hymnal.
In him always and feed on his God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing is blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret.
The journey begins.
The journey begins. It is Lent. It is a time for voyaging. And
I thought I had the button.
Start. Hello. Test, 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 test. I don't know where it is.
Now, Michael, there we go.
Go.
And God is good. All the time. We begin Lent, and God is good. All the time, all the time. God is good. In the name of God, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, accept the forgiveness, the goodness, and follow faithfully. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Barbara, don't hit. Wait until we grab hands. Okay, here we go. Join hands, and then we're going to sing our closing. You got to give me time to get down here, kiddo.
Ready?
One more second. All right, Barbara, I think we're ready. God's people said, amen.